Some of you may have been watching your television sets on 1964 Miss America pageant in September. September 11th was the exact date. And if you were watching, you noticed a girl by the name of Vonda K. Van Dyke who walked off with a Miss America title. And you saw her crying, not for the days that followed, but at least for a few brief moments on the screen. And if some of you missed that program, you may have picked it up in the paper the next day or on your radio newscasts. But I think a lot of you, many of you, perhaps all of you, have no idea of the background, the working up to the Miss America title that took place. I had been raised in a wonderful Christian home. I'm very appreciative of this, and I know when I listened to the panel yesterday morning speaking about family devotions, and it was tossed up whether or not to have them, well, I'd like to voice my opinion on this. I think it was one of the most important things I ever had in my family. And I had a family, of course, who was very, very sold on me, being that I'm the only child. I had cousins and grandparents and so forth that always said, well, you know, with a ventriloquist talent, you ought to go out for Miss America someday. So the opportunity came in 1963 for me to run for the title of Miss Phoenix. I was all enthused about it, so I started reading books and studying up and brushing up my talent. And I walked into the pageant full of confidence, and I came not quite as full of confidence as I went in. I placed first runner-up. So the next year, I decided that I was going to correct every mistake that I'd made. I was going to learn a little bit more about what I was doing. I visited pageants. I watched girls. I took notes. I prepared. And I walked into the pageant prepared to win the title of Miss Phoenix the next year, 1964. And I again was a little disappointed at coming out first runner-up. So after this real confidence builder, I kind of took a look at myself and I thought, well, now why do I want to be Miss Phoenix? I had said a lot of reasons. I wanted a modeling scholarship, which was one of the prizes. I wanted a wardrobe from one of the department stores. And in short, I just wanted it for me. So I decided at this point, well, I was a Christian, but maybe I just kind of wanted things the way I wanted it, not the way God wanted it. So at that point, I knelt down and I said, all right, God, I've had my try. I've experimented and it hasn't worked. I'm going to turn it over to you and you do with my life what you want to happen with it. And so not too long, just a few short weeks after that, I received a call from a friend in Tempe and said they're looking for a new Miss Tempe. This was my university town of Arizona State. And I said, well, thank you, but no thanks. And then I started thinking about it and I started praying about it. And I thought, well, it's not right to say no without praying about it first. So I did, and through a little more encouragement, I decided to enter the Miss Tempe pageant. So I went to the pageant that day, and the judges were there, and the VFW were there, who were sponsoring it, and I won that pageant, hands down. I was the only contestant. With this real boost of confidence, I went into the Miss Maricopa County pageant. Now, in the Miss Maricopa County pageant, I defeated the girl who had won over me just about 1 month prior to this. I went from the county pageant to the Miss Arizona pageant. And during my year as Miss Arizona, I had said, God, you take this title and use it. And I waited around and waited around, and I just didn't see many opportunities. I was busy with my ventriloquism in churches and so forth, but nothing really big. And I thought, well, God, if you really wanted me to have this title, I'd like something really big. And I never expected it when Forrest Lehman of the Billy Graham team heard me speak at a banquet and said, would you like to speak at Arizona State University for the Billy Graham Crusade? And I said, well, sure. And then I got home and started thinking about it. Boy, these are my friends that I'm going to be talking to. And I remember I was a little bit nervous because I'd prayed for the opportunity, and I prayed believing, but was a little scared about it actually coming. And that evening, for the first time, I really expressed myself and my true feelings about the most important person in my life, Jesus Christ. I had the opportunity of going to San Diego and appearing on the national telecast. Perhaps some of you saw it in June of that year. Then I had the opportunity of the Miss America pageant of 1965. I went to the pageant prepared to do my very best for God. And I remember finding myself seated in the top five finalists, and I knew we were faced with questions. We'd gone through all of our competitions, and I knew that there were 80 million viewers in the television audience, and I knew that God answered prayer, so I bowed my head, and I asked God this. I said, if you will give me an opportunity to express my faith, an opportunity to witness for you, I'll take it. And I walked to the microphone, and after a rather light question, I was very amazed, as were some of the pageant officials and a lot of people across the United States, at the question that the judges had prepared for me. The question was this. We understand that you carry a Bible for a good luck charm. Tell us about your religion. I remember I was very quick in answering my Bible. I don't consider my Bible a good luck charm. I consider it the most important book I own. And then I remember, tell us about your religion. And the Lord really helped me on this answer. I said, I don't consider my companionship with God as a religion, but as a faith. I believe in God, I trust in God, and I pray that even tonight His will be done. Shortly after that, I found myself walking down a 240-foot runway. That walk was perhaps one of the longest walks of my life because I realized the responsibility of a title that I knew I could not live up to. And I found later I just couldn't without God's help. This one walk threw me into a world that I hadn't expected, I hadn't really wanted. A world of excitement, entertainment. A world that spun with newspaper reporters and flashbulbs and autographs. A world filled with experience and opportunity and responsibility. I remember, I'd love to recall many of the experiences I had as Miss America. I'm afraid we wouldn't have time if I went into all of them. I would like to share one with you. One experience which I enjoyed very, very much is the experience of going to church on Sunday morning. Now, this sounds kind of funny. I've already told you I was raised in the church. But I think I kind of took Sunday morning for granted. It was always there. And my minister was always there, and my friends were always at church. But I found that the Miss America schedule ran 7 days a week. And they were very considerate in allowing me a couple hours off on Sunday morning to attend church. And so, in order to make it easy, we would decide that we would go to the closest church to the hotel. Well, I got into a lot of different denominations that way, but I'd like to tell you about one experience down in Knoxville, Tennessee. I know there's a lot of Southerners here, and I'm sure you realize that there's a Baptist church on every single corner. So that's where we ended up on Sunday morning. And down south, they really have a way of singing. They really, I guess, kind of shout when they sing. And the minister really has a way of preaching the gospel. And I had enjoyed the service very much, and I got up to leave, and I happened to notice that I had a runner in my nylon. Well, I was a little embarrassed, but I thought no one would notice, so it was all right. So I started walking out of the church, and all of a sudden everybody started turning around and looking at me. Well, I was a little embarrassed, and I said to my chaperone, would you mind stepping back and taking a look? And so she stepped back, and she looked, and she said, don't worry, it's the same color as your leg. Well, I kept walking out of church. I got about a block and a half from the sanctuary, and people were still absolutely stopping dead in their tracks and turning around and looking at me. So I said, Peggy, would you mind just taking one more look? And so she stepped back, and she looked. She came up with a big smile on her face, and she said, honey, they aren't looking at the runner in your nylon. They're looking at the hymn book you walked out of church with. So I had to walk back with a big red hymn book and a smile and an apology to the minister. This was an experience that I won't forget. There were opportunities connected with Miss America, a $10,000 wardrobe, a new Oldsmobile, $11,000 worth of scholarship money. I'm feeling this right now because I'm a senior at UCLA, a television major. So these were opportunities, but I think of all the chances that I had of travel, 250,000 miles, 41 states, Canada, Japan. These were such wonderful opportunities, but not one could match The most important opportunity I had last year is Miss America, and this year too. And that was the opportunity of telling other people about my faith in Christ. I had opportunity through newspapers, magazines, public appearances, maybe just a smile. The opportunities were many, and I'm so thankful for them. I recall the story of a young girl that called me when I was in Minneapolis, Minnesota on fashion tour. She was rather persistent. She called me a number of times before I finally took the phone. And she said, there's something I've got to talk with you about. And I said, fine. And she said, I read in the newspaper this morning what you said it was like not to be a Christian. She said, you described it like this. You said it was like living in the middle of a big vacuum, and you didn't know which way was up or which way was down. You didn't know where you were going or why you were here. You just didn't have any purpose for living. She said, that's exactly how I feel. And she went on to explain how active she was in her church. Matter of fact, she was a church secretary. She volunteered her time at hospital work. She did all sorts of things, and she really was of the assumption that this is what you did to get this purpose for living. So I had the opportunity to tell her the experience I had in my life. As a young girl, I was a very active ventriloquist, and I went to many different churches. This was my main goal. In fact, my first appearance with my ventriloquist dummy was in my own Sunday school class. I went to Bible schools, youth groups, Youth for Christ. I was always there, always doing things for God. And I thought that this was enough. And ever since I was a little girl, I've been raised to believe that you are to give your tithe to the church. So I gave my money. And I really thought that this is what it was to be a Christian. And then one night I was seated in a large auditorium, and I heard a man say, it's not enough to give Christ your time or your talent or your money. You've got to give him your life. And I remember when I heard this, I thought, that's an awful lot to give. But I gave him my life that night. And then I really realized what the scriptures meant when it says, I have come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. This is what Christ gave to me. This is what he gave to the young girl that called me on the telephone, wanting a purpose for life. In my book, That Girl in Your Mirror, you may read my description of the teenage world. I've described it in a very short phrase that says, the merry-go-round of giggles. This is really what the world is all about in the teenager's eyes, the teenager without Christ. There's no sense of direction. It's a merry-go-round that you step on, and it's not only teenagers. This is for you adults, too. It's a merry-go-round that gets spinning, and it's so much fun. And you stay on it till you get dizzy, until you get sick. And then you don't know how to get off. And then if you want to get off, you don't know how you're going to get out of it. You don't know what direction to go into. I received a letter from a young man recently who was caught up in this merry-go-round. And he wrote me, this is what he said. He said, I hate my life. I have had it with sex, and I am so sick of the sin in my life that I could vomit. I don't think you could get anything stronger from a 15-year-old boy. But he had, I guess I'll call it nerve, to step off that merry-go-round and take a look at what his life had been. And he found a direction because he found Christ. These two young people, along with hundreds of other young people, children and adults, this year, I've seen them find this abundant life. I've seen them step off this merry-go-rounds. I've seen them find a purpose for living. I've seen people this year who have discovered that being a Christian is much more important than being a campus queen or a football hero. It's more important than being the head of the ladies' society or a Sunday school teacher. It's more important than being the top man in your business, or an active member of the executive club, they found, as I have, it's more important than being a Miss America. I can't say that I think you'll find what you're looking for in Christ. I can say I know you'll find everything you want in Christ. I know because this is what happened to me. In Christ, I found everything I wanted.